remember that this year we've been talking about faithful. Faithful is a great Bible word. The Old Testament word faithful is a word that means firm, steady, reliable, ground that you can stand on. And one of the most consistent truths we learn in Scripture is that the Lord is faithful. He keeps His word. And remember, we've said this year that we become like the one we worship. And as we come to worship and know the Lord is faithful, we become faithful, firm, steady, reliable. And over the course of the year, we've talked in our small groups and from time to time in worship about some basic aspects of what it means to be faithful in the context of the local church. What's it mean to be faithful to the Lord in a local congregation? Early in the year, we talked about being faithful to attend, to give full attention, energy, focus to one another and to the Lord. We talked about being faithful to serve and being faithful to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, this fall, for the next two Sundays in our small groups and in worship, we're going to spend time talking about being faithful to give. Amen? I'm glad that you as a people don't want me to compromise the Bible truth in order to gain approval of people. It's important to you that I preach the truth of God's word about the sinfulness of man, even though that's not popular, and about the substitutionary atonement of Christ, even though some see that as kind of silly. I'm glad that you want me to preach the full truth of the scripture about things like gender and marriage and the created order and sexual morality and the sanctity of life. You say, preacher, preach the word without compromise. And I thank the Lord that you want me to preach His word when it comes to how we give our money. You can't have it both ways, can you? Next Sunday, I'm going to talk very straightforwardly about why tithe. But today, I want to take a little time to lay a foundation to get you thinking and praying about how you're giving your money. And I want you to consider that the Bible teaches us that money means more than most of us think. The Bible has a very high opinion of money, of how we use it. And I want you to open your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. This is an important New Testament text in which the Apostle Paul speaks about giving money in the local church. And before we read the text, I just want to let you know what it is that really put this text on my heart. A few weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago now, I received a video from Pastor Felix. Felix Cabrera is a pastor of IBC, our Spanish language congregation that meets up on the hill. And he also provides leadership for a Hispanic church planting network that you pay for. It's called Red 18. The word red sounds like the Spanish word for network, I'm told. So we are recruiting Spanish language pastors, God called qualified men, helping them with their education and training, and then using them to plant churches in North America. And you may not realize this, but in the last 5 years, you have funded 29 church plants in North America. Now, that's aside from the fact that you also have given more money to the cooperative program than any other church in the Southern Baptist Convention in the last 5 years, when you add it all up. This is really an extraordinary thing. And five of those church plants have been in Toronto. Did you know that we've started five churches in Toronto, Spanish language churches? Did you even know anybody spoke Spanish in Toronto? There's a great need there. Well, So a few weeks ago, Felix sends me this video. It's just about a minute and a half long, from the pastor who is our key man there in Toronto planting those churches. His name is Gelvi Uribarri. Vision 2020 is their deal. He's trying to plant 20 Hispanic churches in Toronto by 2020, and we're helping him with some of those. So you didn't know about them, many of you. But they know you. And you heard him say, "We have deepest thanks for your beautiful church." And you heard him say, "There's no way for us to fully express our gratitude." So we have these brothers and sisters in Toronto, separated by geography, by language, by ethnic background, by nationality. But they're thanking God for you. They're expressing fellowship with you. And that's what reminded me of this text. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is talking about a financial offering. And it's striking when we consider how he challenges the church at Corinth to give their money. I want to read really what is the beginning and the end of this section in which Paul's talking about the offering. In all of chapter 8 and 9, he's talking about this financial offering. We're going to read the beginning and the end. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, and then just the last few verses of chapter 9. You follow along as I read. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." Macedonia is the northern part of Greece. Corinth, those receiving this letter, are in the southern part of Greece. "I want you to know the grace of God that has been given in the churches of Macedonia," like that's Thessalonica and Philippi, those churches up north, "that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well." And let me just pause for a moment. Titus is carrying this letter from Paul and he's collecting the offering. And Paul says, "Your poorer brethren in the northern part of Greece have given generously to this offering." And now he's challenging the brothers and sisters in Corinth, the church in Corinth, who are more wealthy, to also give generously to the offering. Verse 7. "But just as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in all earnestness and in love which we inspire in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And Paul continues in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, talking about this offering, encouraging generous giving. And I want you to just notice how he wraps up this discussion, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 9. Verse 12 of chapter 9. "For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ, made holy in Christ, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God." This is what our brothers and sisters in Toronto reminded me of. Not only meeting their needs, but overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution, your sharing to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, I want you to notice I want to make three simple statements. Really, it's one statement, and I want to add to it a couple of times. As we consider what this text teaches us about giving money, first of all, would you agree with me that the Bible teaches the church to talk and teach about giving money? Here, Paul has limited space. When he writes letters, he's writing a letter. He's not writing an encyclopedia. There's only a few things he can talk about. But in this letter and in many of his letters, he takes the time to talk to the church about how they're giving their money. And so one of the things we learn from the Apostle Paul in this text is that it's appropriate, it's necessary for the church to talk and teach about giving money. If we had time to walk through all of chapter 8 and 9, we would see that the Apostle Paul calls for these brothers and sisters in Corinth to give intentionally, to give sacrificially, to give proportionally, to give prayerfully and cheerfully, to abound in this giving. And he doesn't hesitate at all. And what's true here for the Apostle Paul is true for Paul in all of his writings. It's also true in the Gospels as we consider the teaching of Jesus Christ and in the Old Testament scriptures. The church should talk and teach about money. In fact, look carefully at verse 7 of chapter 8. Paul says to the church, just as you abound, you're growing, you're excelling, you're abounding in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in love, abound also in this gracious work. Paul says, you should be growing in every aspect of your life in Christ, including your generosity, your obedience, your consistency in the way you give your money. And so the Bible teaches us that the church should talk and teach about giving money. In fact, a few years ago, we as a congregation set out some priorities for our ministry together as the body of Christ. And one of the things we declared, intentionally, prayerfully declared as a church, is that we will glorify God through biblical stewardship and generosity. That we want just what we saw in that video. That we want people in our city and brothers and sisters around the world to give thanks to God for a church in Oklahoma City who gives so sacrificially and generously to His kingdom causes. We want to be marked that way as a people that God has blessed so that we might be a blessing. This is one of the things that we are pursuing together as a congregation because it's something that the scriptures teach us is important in the local church. So the Bible teaches us that the church should talk and teach about giving money. It's one of the things we should abound in, we should excel in. Let me add to that. Not only does Paul teach us that the church should talk about giving money, but this is very important. This is the unique contribution of this text. Paul also teaches us that in the church, we should talk about giving money using theological language. Now, I hope that you'll pay attention because this is very important. When Paul talks about this offering, he does not use business terms. Paul's a smart man. He knew the business terms. But when he talks about how these churches were giving money, He didn't use financial language. He didn't talk about revenue and funding and financing. Instead, he uses language that is loaded with theology. In this text that we've read, as we study carefully, chapter 8 and 9, Paul uses the word grace and fellowship and ministry to describe giving money. In fact, he uses the word grace at least a half dozen times in these two chapters to describe how they were giving their money. He says, this is God's grace. His undeserved favor. It is grace that you have experienced, that you have the capacity to give. It is God's grace in your heart that makes you willing to give. It is God's grace in the world that uses you to give. Paul says everything that's happening here is God's grace. And so he doesn't hesitate to use one of the most important theological words in the New Testament, we're saved by grace, to describe the way we give our money. It's grace. It's what Jordan and Ann were saying. We give because God has given to us. Paul uses the word koinonia, fellowship. In some of your English translations, when you read the word participation, it's the word fellowship. Look. Let me make sure you see this. Look at chapter 8, verse 4. It's the best place to see it. In chapter 8, verse 4, we see them all squeezed together. And our English translations don't do a great job here, so pay attention. Paul says, our poor brothers and sisters up north were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Now, look at the three words. Favor is the New Testament word grace. Participation is the New Testament word koinonia, a sharing, a common bond. And support, that's a poor translation. This is actually the word diakonos, like our word deacon, the word for ministry. Right there in one sentence, one half a sentence, Paul uses the word grace and fellowship and service ministry to describe giving money. Listen, he's not doing this because he's not too smart and he has a limited vocabulary. Paul is intentionally choosing these heavy, loaded theological words to describe the way we give our money because it's connected to God. Look, for example, at chapter 9, verse 12. This is very important. Chapter 9, verse 12, Paul says, look at the New American Standard reads, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. And here in verse 12, we learn that not only is the way we give our money evidence of God's grace, not only is it an expression of our fellowship with God and with our brothers and sisters, with one another, not only is it ministering to the needs, but it is also an act of worship. It overflows through many thanksgivings to God. And I want you to see the very first phrase in verse 12. For the ministry of this service, the New American Standard reads, for the service you perform, for the ministry, that's the word diakonos, the word ministry, of this service. The word service is a very important word. Paul describes the giving of money as a service. Listen to, I'm going to say the Greek word for you here for service. Liturgias. It's a word from which we get our English word liturgy. It's a worship word that describes a priest serving in the temple. It's a word that's not used very often in the New Testament. It's used, for example, I've been studying Luke chapter 1 because in Advent I'm preaching Zacharias' song. And Luke uses this word to describe when Zacharias the priest is serving in the temple. It's used in the book of Hebrews, this word, to describe Jesus, our high priest, and his intercession for us. It's a word that describes the work of a priest leading worship in the temple. And it's the word that the Apostle Paul has the audacity to use when he's talking about the way we give our money. This is a special word. And so what Paul is doing with his vocabulary is reminding us that giving money as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is an expression of God's grace. It's an expression of the fellowship that we have together. It's ministering to the needs of our brothers and sisters. It is offering, serving God in worship. Where does Paul get this idea that giving is more than funding the operations of a church? That giving is so loaded theologically, so significant spiritually. It's grace and fellowship and ministry and worship. He gets it from the Old Testament and from the teachings of Jesus, who said things like, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus, remember, didn't spend much time in the temple. But when he did go to the temple, one of the things he did was sit down and watched how the people were giving their money. It's important. Not just for the funding of an operation, but it's important for your spiritual life, for our spiritual life in Christ Jesus. Listen, brothers and sisters, you cannot exclude how you're giving and spending and using your money from the Lordship of Christ. In fact, verse 13 of chapter 9 tells us that giving money is obedience to your confession of the gospel. So, Paul uses strong language here. The Bible teaches us the church should talk and teach about giving money, and the church should talk and teach about giving money using theological language. Now, I'm going to go a step deeper. And listen, there's no way I would go here. In fact, honestly, I would consider this to be almost sacrilegious, the step I'm about to take. Except, Paul takes the step. So listen carefully. The church should teach and talk about giving money. The church should teach and talk about giving money with using theological language. The church should teach and talk about giving money in the context of the cross. It's a remarkable thing about this text as I study it. Is that when Paul talks about this financial offering, he keeps making reference to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Did you see it in chapter 8, verse 9? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Listen, that's language Paul uses in Philippians chapter 2 to talk about the pre-existent Christ laying aside his glory, take on flesh to become a man, a servant, die, even the ugly death of the cross, to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. How he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We were broken down sinners. He's the King of glory. He lays aside it all. Comes for you and for me. Paul says, in this context of our giving, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Experience the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. And then you see, as Paul wraps up this whole discussion in chapter 9, verse 15, that he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know what his indescribable gift is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so, listen, you've got a decision to make this morning. Paul puts this whole discussion in the shadow of the cross. And so we only have two choices. Either Paul is overstating and misusing the cross of Jesus Christ in order to manipulate us, or we have terribly underestimated, minimized, and misunderstood how significant it is for us to give our money. Paul picks up this discussion of the way we give our money and he carries it to Calvary. It's not a secondary sideline deal for him. And so when you or I want to evaluate how we're giving our money, if we should give our money, are we giving enough money, right spirit, right attitude, right amount, when we're evaluating our giving, where should we go? When we were raising our boys, especially when they were getting older, I would think very carefully about where I wanted to have a significant conversation with them. You know, some conversations are appropriate, maybe on the driveway shooting baskets. For some conversations, maybe you go for a ride in the car, some at the dinner table. Sometimes I'd bring them in and they'd sit in a chair across from my desk, right? The appropriate context for a conversation. Don't miss this. When the Apostle Paul wants to talk to you and to me about how we're giving our money, he takes us to the foot of the cross. It says, remember, he who was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we do give you thanks for your indescribable gift. Jesus, our Savior, your Son, who emptied himself of glory to fill us up with your grace. I pray, Father, that everything we do would be done in the light of the cross, including the way we handle our financial resources. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified as we abound in grace, that you'd be glorified through this church as we proclaim the gospel, as we meet human needs, as we send the gospel to the nations, as we fellowship with one another and worship you, and that you'd be glorified also as we abound in giving. I pray that you'd help us to be doers of your word and not merely hearers now. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song of response here in just a moment. And when we stand and sing, this invitation will be open. Some may want to come and join our church today. We're ready to receive you. Some of you here need to use this time of singing and praying to ask the Lord to speak to you about your financial stewardship, about your giving. Ask the Lord Jesus to sit down and look at how you're giving and to show you anything that needs to change. Are you willing to open up and allow the Lord Jesus to have his way? Some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You're searching for evidence that the gospel is true. It's not just a game people are playing. Listen, I'll give you some evidence. Friend, you're surrounded by people who give their money because of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has so moved and changed and motivated them. They give willingly, cheerfully to his cause. And Jesus Christ can change your heart and life also. Let's be doers of the word, obedient and tender, responsive to him now. As we stand and sing, you come.